Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Boston Sports Station.
W-E-E-I.
Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston. A Radio.com sports station. This is your 60-second COVID-19 update on WEEI.
I'm Danielle Murr with your 7 a.m. COVID-19 update. Now over 100,000 coronavirus cases here in Massachusetts. According to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, more than 25,000 nursing home residents have passed from COVID-19. Facilities with low ratings for patient care were hit particularly hard. A new Washington Post ABC News poll shows that opinions about reopening are split pretty much right along party lines. Democrats say that controlling the virus is more important, and Republicans are prioritizing the economy. Senate lawmakers today will introduce a bipartisan bill to regulate contact tracing apps to ensure users' privacy. And Mexico has lifted its 70-day lockdown, but officials say that the danger there is hardly over. WEEI is helping Boston stay connected. For more, visit radio.com/stayconnected. Your next update comes at 9 a.m. here on WEEI.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Happened in downtown after the protest ended was an attack on those values, and it was an attack on our city and its people. I know that it was frightening for many who were there. It was frightening for those watching it unfold on TV or following it on social media, especially for the families of the police officers, first responders, and all of the people that went in town to peacefully protest.
Wasn't frightening for Ken because everybody had a mask on.
So, oh, that is important. Let's not deny that.
Do you think we're going to get a surge because of
the protests? Well, here's my hope. We've done it at the best time possible because we did flatten the curve. So there is a chance. I mean, if this had happened a month ago.
This is unbelievable.
So
all protests in the future should be scheduled once we have flattened the curve?
Yeah, you got to reduce the R-naught first.
Okay.
What about the herd immunity thing? I've heard somebody talking about that.
Well, nice play on words.
That might help.
You know, now everybody was gathering together, so everybody gets it. Yeah. And now it's like, all right, well, I guess we're good to go.
But you're not, these texters are losing their mind, by the way. Are you paying any attention to the text line?
No, I don't have it over here. So
it's a good thing.
Yeah. That's I know. Ignorance is bliss when it comes to the text line.
It doesn't bother me, though.
But you should clarify if you think the looting is right.
No.
Okay.
No, you're going down there. The looting is basically you going down there for a come up. That's it. And all you're doing is making it look bad on the people that are really down there for the right reasons. That's it. That's why Trump is doing what he's doing and saying what he's saying, is because these people that are destroying property and looting, and now the ones that are actually getting put in harm's way are the innocent protesters.
What do you make of the piles of bricks that are being left near potential protest sites?
It's such a weird thing.
That's the conspiracy theory things, right?
Well, you love video games.
I do.
They're saying that they got the idea from Battle Royale, where you can like leave a supply of weapons.
So drop me some weapons and cash. Okay. Drop me some bricks near. Ken,
I know I said it yesterday, but
Twitter really should be just avoided by everybody in this time. Because
it's awful.
It's awful, and none of the tweets are verified with anything. Like, you could show the bricks in one place, and it could have been superimposed. It could have been months ago. It could be real. It's like everything is edited to align with certain ideological points of view on the subject.
I look and see if people, like, they put up the pictures of, you know, people hugging police officers and everything, or somebody might be giving a speech. I look and I see, is anybody wearing a mask? Because if somebody's wearing, if nobody's wearing a mask, I'm like, yo, this is from a couple years ago.
Right.
I mean, the best part of the mayor's press conference yesterday was when Rachel Rollins was making her, declaration.
What the
whatever,
hell was
whatever,
that yesterday?
And her mask blew off. Blew off the podium. And everybody around her was panicking. They're like,
oh, man.
Get her mask.
Isn't Rachel Rollins' job as the lead Boston
law
cop?
Enforcement person?
Yes.
No.
She sounds,
that's not her,
she
that's
sounds
not her
like job. Someone at a rally.
Well, you know, honestly, I commend Commissioner Gross for telling it how it is.
That's it. Keep it 100, man.
And for calling he called out two politicians who didn't want Boston police officers to be wearing helmets because they thought that would create a bad look. And, you know, several of them ended up in the hospital, which is horrendous. This is John from Nashua. What's up, John?
What's going on? How are you?
What are you calling about?
So, just give you some background. I'm from the Bromley Heath Projects in Boston. So, I'm African-American, but I have a question for Wiggy. Using your words, how can you say that white people are racist and white people this and white people that have to change the way racism is when everything you've been saying this morning has been racist?
So what did I say that was racist?
Almost everything.
Like
you're
what?
Sitting there saying how white people think.
No, I said that they're the ones that...
No, you did.
Yeah, I did.
And how...
Well, I never said how a white person thinks. I said that they have to change.
What do you mean?
They have to change racism, right? They're the ones, because they're the ones at the end of the day, when you look at it, this country is predominantly white, right? So why the question is, or when I said that they have to change on maybe how they view black people, right? So what's wrong with that? What's the... Because I've said this before. We've seen over and over and over in times again where these women or guys are intimidated or afraid or why is it there's an issue when there's a group of black people, or if there's a black person who they feel like shouldn't be here.
Well, you were saying it the other day with the gym thing.
Right.
Where was that? Was that in?
That was, I believe it was
in
Minneapolis.
Right. Where you said that guy would have never called the cops on a couple random white dudes who are using the gym in his building.
No, I mean, and to think, like, I mean, are we living in a fantasy world? I'm just telling the truth, right? I'm telling the truth. You don't see black people calling up the police and saying, this person's out here selling lemonade or water. Or you don't see, going, why are you in this neighborhood?
It would be like a WPS thing. So it'd be like door-to-door salesman or something.
But when do you ever see that, though? Like, when
no soliciting sign.
There's a rogue accountant out here trying to do my books. Can you send the authorities over?
Dame Dollar.
Or I would ask people, right? If they had an issue, I would ask them, have you ever been harassed by a black person because you felt like they were harassing you because you didn't deserve to be there? Or why were you there? Have you ever in your life been...
No, never.
Okay, Danielle?
Nope.
Curtis?
I plead the fifth.
A black person has told you should not be here?
No, I'm kidding. I've never been happy.
Ken?
No, but when I go into the Indian temple with my wife and her family, do I get some looks in there? Do I stick out like a sore thumb?
Well, but I can relate to that. That's because you're in an interracial relationship.
Right, right.
And my mother, who was a white woman, had to raise a black kid, so I can relate, but that's different.
And actually, I take that back. I was pretty close to being booted from Magic City.
Yeah, but you were welcomed into Magic.
That's the strip joint that you two went to in Atlanta.
Yes. He was welcomed into Magic City.
I wouldn't say I was welcomed. People were looking at me kind of funny.
They were looking at him like, okay.
Did you feel uncomfortable,
Curtis? I did. I felt prejudged.
But Mutt felt right at home.
Oh, my God. He was pie-eyed.
All right. Hold on. This is John.
He kept wanting to drive us back. I was like, we don't even have a car.
This is John. Hello, John.
Hey, you guys there?
Hey, what's up, John?
Hey, not too much. I just wanted to give my quick point. I'm a police officer in a surrounding state.
Yep.
And I just wanted to bring something probably to the light that most people don't know. And the state that I work, and I can't speak for Mass, but just for the continuing education amongst law enforcement, there's 8 hours every year that police officers have to do to keep their certification going. And I think that where I work in
particular, 8 hours about, like, racism?
8 hours, no, just in general, 8 hours.
Okay.
Whether it's some sort of defensive tactics or community policing, and that is just like the bare minimum that the cop has to do to keep their certification going. And, you know, I think that a lot of these sort of incidents can be fixed if, you know, cops go on their own, whether they're training in some defensive tactics or if they're, you know, the agency itself seeks extra training in community policing or cultural diversity or something like that. And I just wanted to bring that up. That's all.
And just because I do think it's helpful, as a cop, when you saw that video, how did it make you feel?
Terrible. I mean, you know, it's what I see is somebody who's not trained. And, you know, you look at the beginning of the part of that video where you can see that Mr. Floyd's, like, probably suffering some sort of medical condition, and they can't recognize that right away. Now, obviously, they're not EMTs or anything like that, but, you know, a little bit of just training in that, you'd be able to see that.
But how can he not be? He's on the force. He's on the force for 20 years. How can he not?
Right. You know, I know. I understand that, but just, you know, it's terrible, guys. I've fought with people on the ground before. And I put my knees on their back, but I'm not there for any length of time. It's only to get compliance and then to get them into the cruiser and get them out of that situation.
Yeah.
For him to be there for 8 minutes or however long it was is just—it's uncalled for.
Almost nine minutes. Mm-hmm. And if you were one of the other guys that were there, what would you have done?
Oh, I would have at least moved his leg off of him, if not just kicking him completely off.
Yeah.
And got Mr. Floyd right into that cruiser. I know he was resisting, and that's why they put him down, but you got to get him to that car so you can, you know, get him away from that situation. And I've talked with other cops about this, but, you know, as a police officer, if you're fighting with somebody on the ground and then there's bystanders who are there within, you know, let's say 10 feet of that happening, it's a great thing that they took the video, because that wasn't called for what he did. But if they just kept walking, would that have happened? They may have been able to gain control and put him in the back of the cruiser with all those people there.
Yeah,
but he was in the cruiser. He was in the back, and they took him out.
It was, I mean, it, horrific.
Yeah,
horrible.
I mean, when you think about the situation. And I, like I said, I know a lot of great cops out there, and I think the biggest thing that, you know, that needs to work in the, you know, relationship between Black people and cops, I think, is the communication, right? It's how we communicate with one another, right? If we can communicate with each other in a way that's like, okay, civil and not, I'm the authority figure, you need to listen to what I'm saying, or maybe the way I'm speaking to you. Which then,
but the problem is that they are the authority figure.
Right. And that, I understand that. But I think there's the communication has to be there. They are the authority figure, but there still has to be a better line of communication with some officers when they run. Because I think that's what runs into a lot of issues, right, is really the line of communication. And I understand that they deal with a lot of stuff. But that's where it has to be a better line of communication on how we talk to each other.
So when you say, And I think you're right that as a 53-year-old white guy from Stowe, I do have some rhythm.
Yes.
But
I've seen you dance before.
Right.
Debatable.
You saw me and Gronk dance once.
You're like the Justin Timberlake of WEEI.
But when you say, I can't possibly grasp what it's like to be black.
Right.
Do you think that you can grasp what it's like to be a law enforcement officer and what they go through?
No.
Okay.
No, because I've never been.
So there needs to be understanding.
But I understand that. I've never been. I'm not in law enforcement. I don't. They have one of the most difficult jobs. Every day they go out, they put their lives on the line, and they don't know whether or not they're coming home. Right. At least I could say for the most part, you know, I think about certain things, but I feel like I'm going to make it home every night. Right. They don't have that same luxury. But I understand that the communication is key for law enforcement and civilians and how we communicate with each other to maybe de-escalate certain situations.
I was talking to some of those guys yesterday who were gathering down by Crash Pad because there was some impending march or riot or whatever was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And a lady comes up and says that she was maced the other night, and who should she speak to about it?
Oh my God!
And but the guys were like, "Well, we weren't there, so
I don't know.
I don't know who
chain,
you would.
Right? Karen.
I don't know.
It's gonna be a comment box somewhere.
Right?
Yeah, there's a comment box.
It was kind of an odd move, though. Greg, surrounded by our finest officers, having a drink, and he left, and he had them buy his drink.
Yeah. I saw a tweet about a conspiracy theory because on Causeway Street, like right in front of that area, they had actually found a pallet of chicken and a biscuit boxes that seemed to be just left there for no reason.
It was left there.
I hope it was Popeye's chicken.
That was the come up. That was the come up, Danielle. It was the chicken and a biscuit.
No, Wiggy, chicken in a biscuit, not chicken and a biscuit.
Okay. The chicken biscuit sandwich?
We're so far behind. So we will eventually, I promise you, get to the dumbest of the day coming up in a little bit. And just heads up, next hour, friend of the old show, friend of the new show, Damian DePaola from the North End is going to call. And many of you enjoyed hearing Damian on the show last week. They continue to be very upset in the North End. And some are talking about a Friday opening, a rogue opening.
Good for them. They gotta be able to support their families.
We'll hear what Damian says about that coming up at 8:20. But right now, Ken and what is trending?
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, I wouldn't believe it if I didn't have a copy in my hands right now. Tuesday's mashup from Fitzy: Jarrett Stidham in running for MVP, and he cites some odds from some Twitter account named Moo, where he's plus 5,000 to win the MVP. It's unbelievable.
Is that Moo Chanel?
Wow. Speaking of gambling, Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods opened up. Did you see some of the pictures from their reopened tables?
Did you see the craps table?
Yeah, unbelievable.
No, so check out my Twitter account. Everybody standing at the craps table has their own circular plexiglass protector.
So you
kind of slide in there, and I mean, I assume you can can you still communicate with the dealer? You can, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you communicate by putting your chips down, right?
Yeah, right.
World bet.
I guess you don't really have to say anything. I mean, it looked great. I mean, I'd do it.
John Brennan, who covers this, said closer to 2 feet separation to him, it looks like, than 6 feet, but mask wearing is 100%. Everybody's wearing a mask there.
Oh, man.
And the bars are open, so...
It's weird.
You looking at it now?
Yeah. I mean, how many people could be at a craps table, though? It doesn't look like many. Normally...
About six there, it looks like.
Right. Mm.
But that's progress.
And what are they doing about the looky-loos? Like those who like to watch others gamble.
Keep it moving.
They never heard that term, looky-loos.
Right.
You've never heard that?
You've never heard the term looky-loo?
No, never.
Oh, Ken, you're so sheltered.
Must be a regional thing.
You should tweet a link on the Twitter.
Well, it seems
feed
like
that
they're
Chris.
Wearing like it seems like they're just mask of the key because there are a couple other people that are not in those protective plastic bubbles that are next to each other.
They have the antibodies.
They have herd immunity. They were at the protest.
and the craps table just says come up on it.
Yeah, well, that's there's no come up on the craps table. It's hard to come up on that thing.
All right, Major League Baseball is threatening a short season now. Here's more from Jeff Passan of ESPN on the latest developments. This was not a counterproposal officially. The two sides did have a heated meeting Sunday, but the owners are now saying they basically have permission based on the March agreement to go at it with 50 to 60 games starting in July. They would give players their full prorated salary, but that would mean only 31% now with the shortened season. Here's Pass.
It's a tough position that the players are in at this point, and as one owner said earlier today, we're going to have baseball this year. Now, that's a lot of confidence being placed in this, you know, in this gambit that Major League Baseball is putting out there as a possibility, but that confidence, if it's coming from owners, is a good sign for the 2020 baseball season.
So now the owners are saying, we're having it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to force it one way or the other.
40 games.
40, 50 games. Something
like that. Maybe then the players, but the players won't have nothing to complain about because at least they'll be getting their full salary for the 40 games. Mm-hmm. It might not be as many games as they wanted, but they don't have to take those haircuts. Right.
So Wiggy was wrong. We're going to have sports then. Baseball's back.
Well, did they
Hockey,
say they were back?
Oops. Owners are saying it's
going to
happen.
The only sport I heard that was coming back was basketball, July 31st or the 30th.
All it takes is one, Wiggs, and we're getting dinner.
Yeah.
No, we're not there yet.
Okay.
And Spurs coach Greg Popovich called President Trump a deranged idiot in a new article in The Nation published on Monday. Will there be any repercussions there? I guess not.
There won't be any repercussions.
Fair enough. That's what's trending on the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
More of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Don't be so quick to walk away. That's me. I wanna rock your body. Please stay. That's me. You don't have to admit you won't play. That's me.
Well, Wiggy, there is some good coming from the unrest in this country.
Okay.
And it appears this morning that Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively will be making a reparation payment. I know you were, if I remember correctly,
yes,
that was your guy.
That was stimulus checks before the whole lockdown.
Yeah, you wanted Cory Booker for president because of reparation payment.
And Cardi B, VP.
Yes, Cardi B.
Coronavirus!
It ain't real!
Turns out apparently Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively got married at a place in South Carolina in 2012, which was a former plantation.
Yeah, Boone Hall.
Announced yesterday they will be making a $200,000 reparation payment to the NAACP as a result of where they got married.
What we do? I thought we were all getting checks for this one. So I ain't getting no $1,200 stimulus check.
So, I mean, yesterday, Ken said we could solve the massive issue when it comes to racism in our country if an NFL team would sign Colin Kaepernick. Do you think that this will this solve it?
No.
Is this
this is his like okay? Whew, this is my guilt because of what we did. So here, let me give a donation to the NAACP.
Can you imagine the white guilt that they are suffering as Hollywood superstars?
Just say hey, we like the place.
Yeah,
we wanted to get married there. Granted, it's a former plantation, but we like the place. It's all about, you know, how it looked.
It's amazing to me, all of these Hollywood elite that are outraged all over the place by the murder of George Floyd, A, all live in all white communities,
right.
B, have such
They're the biggest hypocrites in the world, all of these Hollywood people, because they lecture people on how to live and that diversity is the most important thing in the world. They live in totally non-diverse parts of the country, and they spend money left and right on global on private jets that ruin our environment, yet they tell everybody that we have to, you know, compost.
Not Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. They're writing a check.
How quickly do they call all their friends to tell them what they just did?
You guys, check our Instagram post. Right. We're going to make a big donation because of the plantation fiasco.
I know you adopted your 16th child from the Sudan, but we just gave $200K to the NAACP.
Not only that, we are in the process of adopting a black kid.
How diverse is the crash pad, Greg?
In terms of what, Ken?
It's very diverse. Very
really?
Diverse. Yeah, of course.
It's got a lot of African art on the wall, like Frasier.
It's in the city.
It's in the city.
That's the limit of the diversity. It's in Boston.
It's in Boston.
He's high above the city.
So
he's still in city limits.
It's a mile high club up there.
Place is a dump.
Oh, okay.
All right. We got to get to this.
It's time for...
Hey, moron.
What a dope.
Hey, idiot. Hey, dumbass.
The dumbest.
I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
No, you are dumb.
Of...
Dumb.
The...
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Day.
I'm not dumb.
Dumbasses.
People are so dumb.
Time now, a little bit late for the dumbest of the day. So we listened to everything, most everything that was said in this country yesterday, and we have determined, Curtis, that this was the dumbest of the day.
We are heading to my favorite part of America, Polk County, Florida.
Ooh, yes, nice.
And we're going to hear from Sheriff Grady Judd, which is just the most perfect name for anybody running a sheriff department in Polk County.
He's a savage, this guy. This guy, absolute savage. What did he say yesterday?
He said, beware of his residents because they love guns. They own them, and they're going to use them if you go to his house.
But we have received information on social media that some of the criminals were going to take their criminal conduct into the neighborhoods. I would tell them if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns. And they're going to be in their homes tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with your guns.
Whoa.
That's aggressive.
They're calling it like he sees it.
Hey, he's keeping it 100. You run up in the wrong house. He ain't lying, though. You run up in the wrong house, you're going to get blown back.
And Grady Judd gave $200,000 to the NRA last night.
Well,
shouldn't be running up in people's houses anyways.
I mean, you know... Some awful footage from, did you see the woman and her husband in New York that were trying to protect their business?
Oh, yeah.
And
that was just bad.
They're swinging the 2x4 at
them. But see, and that's the problem, right? So these are the things that we start to see, right? And unfortunately for black people, it was black people who were doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So now... When you're just sitting here and the masses, they're watching this at home, this is why I always talked about, this is where a few bad apples will then spoil the bunch because now everybody is in that category. They're down there to loot. They're down there for violence. They're down there for this. They're not, you know, rather than there's some really good videos up of black people, I believe it was in California or Miami, where these two girls were spraying graffiti on a Starbucks and they stepped in. There was another black woman in New York, in Harlem, and she was just basically, you know, just going on this rant about you're destroying our city and you're making this a bad look. This is not a protest.
Oh, are you talking about the mayor of Atlanta?
No. These were just regular people.
Yeah.
These were just regular people. But I think that's what people are going to see those images. And that was wrong. I mean, the guy was like beating up the old lady. You know, he was like
it was
throwing
horrible.
Punches at her and everything.
They had a jewelry store. And then was it Rochester, New York?
Yeah, it was upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they came down to try to save their jewelry store. Right? And
but that's why there are people that are using this for the come up. Come up on two different things. Getting some
drink,
getting some, you know, jewelry, sneakers, and then there are people that are looking to just come up on the violence.
I heard a number yesterday which seemed crazy, which was the Star Market
in the Pru, there were $2 million worth of damage.
Oh my
the
God.
Other night.
I didn't know that.
Is that possible?
I guess that
there was that much damage that was done.
I thought you were going to say there has been 2 million times Wiggy has said on the come up this morning.
It's the word of the day, man. You got to have a word of the day every day.
That's his word of the day.
Urban Dictionary sends words of the day. That's
it. Did you not hear him earlier say that you just need to listen, Curtis?
I've been trying my best.
When he tells you, when he says 100 or come up on the come up, you got to listen.
It's hun it, Greg.
Hun it.
Right. That can't never happen.
Huh?
Hun it.
Is that how I say it?
Keeping it 100.
Keeping it 100.
That's it. You have to use the red 100 emoji, though, when you text that to somebody.
Yeah. Dale says it best. Listen to him.
Actually, I use it when I'm keeping score in golf for my own personal score.
It's also how he packs his snack bags. He keeps it 100.
Keeping it 100.
100 calories.
Here's Amanda. Hello, Amanda.
Hi.
What's up, Amanda?
Morning.
What's going on?
Hello. Nothing much. How is everybody?
How are you?
Hanging in.
Good.
I'm good. I love the show. I watch it every morning. It's the first time I actually got on. But Wiggy, you and me is we and you.
All right. There you go.
Yeah. You know, me and you is me and you. I love Wiggy.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
So basically, I just want to touch base about obviously what happened to George is unjustifiable. We all know that, right?
Yep.
But we're all entitled as Americans or whomever's in this country to peaceful protest. Words, you know, when you speak your words, they are louder than any action that you can perform. You know, I'm Portuguese, so I have no idea what it's like being black or growing up black. I grew up in New Bedford. I went to a public school. I was surrounded by all kinds of different backgrounds. We never judged. I mean, as far as me, I never did. My parents are Portuguese immigrants. You know, they're cellar dwellers. They don't get out. They do what they got to do, just like I do. But I work for a police department, and, you know, to be called out, and I just dispatch, okay? I'm not even an officer, but to be called out, like, you know, look what your boys did to George. And I'm like, well, first of all, they're not my boys. I don't live in Minnesota. And second of all, you know, not every officer will do that to a human being. I've witnessed it. I work in a small town. You would think it would happen in a small town, and it doesn't. It doesn't. I've seen these not even acts of kindness, just officers doing their job and helping a citizen. Doesn't matter of their color. Doesn't matter of their past. And ruining businesses, it just makes me sick. This is probably one of the reasons why I don't watch the news, and this is probably one of the main reasons why, as I get older, I might not even, you know, have a child, because look at the world we're living in. What am I going to bring up my child to listen to and see every day? You know, I want to be able to put them in public schools so they can experience the things that I did. I got a great education. I turned out freaking awesome, you know, and I refuse to put someone so innocent in a world that's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it's definitely difficult. If you have kids, you worry about them. And one of the things she is right that it's disappointing to see people looting and going towards violence. And like I said, it's even disappointing to see black people doing that. Right. Because now, you know, it's, you know, I see people running in stores and running out with sneakers and this, that, and the other. But what I really see is people who look like me, right? Mm-hmm. And then it affects all of us, right? Because now the perception, it's all about perception in the world we live in, is that, oh, see, there they go again. And then, you know, it's me, it's my kids, and that's...
So who's doing that? Who's doing the, like...
Knuckleheads, the ignorance are doing that. The people that, you know, they're only down there for, like I said, and, you know, we could joke, but
to
only
wreak havoc.
To wreak havoc.
On that note, Wiggy, I was just sent by a listener the Urban Dictionary for hit the come up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I probably can read four of the words in this description. When I'll put it, African Americans, not listed here as that, obtain anything
can be from stealing, such as energy drinks, money, drugs, or etc., that they previously thought they weren't able to get due to a lack of funds, African-American, or having no job.
All right. So that's there you go. There you have it. There it is.
There's a lot of N-words in the Urban Dictionary.
Oh, there is?
Thing there.
You can't use them.
Yes. Like the one guy who said social media, he tried hard. He was there was a guy on social media. He was trying. He had this powerful speech, and then he said, "We are all N-words. N-words come in all different colors." And the crowd went, "No, he didn't."
Yep. Yeah, he did.
He did.
Well, Bob.
I think you called it. You said that things were going to get violent the longer that everybody was forced to stay at home.
Yeah, and that doesn't help.
And you called it.
That doesn't help.
But you didn't call the come up.
Well, I call the violence and then ensue with the violence, then the come up comes.
By the way, great new name for the Laird Nick show on Saturdays, the come up.
Come up. Yes.
That's to talk about Jared Stidham and how he'll be the MVP of the league this year.
Potato buns and Jared Stidham. Let's go.
And is a hot dog a sandwich?
Hello, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Michael Wakefield.
Yes. What's up, Mike?
Good morning.
Hello.
So as a former door-to-door salesman, I can tell you that racism against white people is a real thing, because I can give you a couple examples.
Yeah.
Compton, Camden, Jersey, Metairie, Louisiana, Tangelo Park in Orlando, Florida. I worked all those neighborhoods. And when I was in a predominantly white neighborhood, I was a Puerto Rican punk. When I was in a predominantly black neighborhood, I was a white punk. So, I mean, let's just end it right there. There is racism that goes all the way around. Now, I brought this up to you yesterday, Wiggy, and I'm not scared to talk about race. I grew up poor. I don't see color. That's just, I grew up around all different types. But don't you think that, I mean, you asked this question, why are white people so scared of people of color, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't say, now use this word scared, but what is the negative view? Yes.
Okay. Well, think about the past 30 to 35 years of the hip-hop and urban community and how they've cultivated this image. And what do people, what do ignorant white people who watch, you know, or used to watch MTV or see these hip-hop videos, people talking about bitches and hoes and chains and guns and slinging cane and, you know, coming up for my N-words. And, like what do you think that kind of image projects to people? I mean...
Blaming the rap music,
right? But then that goes. But then that's like me going, all right. Well, you know, these kids that are shooting up schools, it's because they're playing video games.
I mean, we haven't answered this question today, but I just have one question. What about Chicago?
What about Chicago?
You talking about Chicago, the band?
Right.
No, I'm talking about what's always brought up next. When first is it's the hip hop, and then it's, did you know that there was a bunch of shootings in Chicago?
No.
Hold on. Statement on rap music.
Yeah, but isn't that wrong?
Statement on rap music.
Right, but isn't that like the view that like that's the world that we live in, right? So because you like a certain type of music and you start to dress a certain type of way, or because you hear these musicians that are artists, and it's no different than when rock bands did it and they rebelled against what they saw in their environment.
If you're getting your entire view of a race of people
from the music,
then you're an idiot.
Right.
I mean, that's like thinking that Bruce Springsteen speaks for the blue collar worker at this point in his life.
Well, that's like me saying
7:42 on Tuesday. Greg acknowledged it.
That's like me saying because a kid watched certain movies. You know, the kids are playing video games, Grand Theft Auto and Call of Duty. Now all of a sudden they're going to run outside and just, you know, mow down people in the streets because they're thinking they're getting points for it.
Like, look at Greg's flip flops. Those shower sandals you wore again today got him on the come up last night.
What is your problem?
Those are very nice, Ken. I have a matching pair.
You're oddly obsessed with my
Springsteen. Wear those or what?
I mean, very, very strange.
Yeah, when he's headed to the shower.
I was going to suggest at some point that we play the Osmonds One Bad Apple as a rejoin. And now I'm worried about affecting people because of the music. Is that going to present
You're the music guy. Think about all some of those bands, right?
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. So this guy thinks, so far, Laird solved, we could solve the massive racism issue in our country by signing Kaepernick.
Yes.
Yep.
Ryan Reynolds gave $200,000 because he had a wedding at a former plantation.
Solve it by giving some money.
And now we can just stop playing rap music.
Stop rap music.
All right. Seems easy.
Everything's good.
And we will get to the news and Danielle coming up next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's the Greg Hill Show
on Sports Radio WEEI. It's time for
good news for you this morning.
The news
in 3, 2, 1
with your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News team, assemble!
There's a new Northeast Men's Health office open in Dedham next to Legacy Place. You can call 617-793-5000 or you can learn more at northeastmenshealth.com.
In the wake of unrest in cities across the United States, the president yesterday said that he is ready to deploy the National Guard to help end the violence, and that does include sending them to Boston.
If a city or a state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. Mayors and governors must establish an overwhelming law enforcement presence until the violence has been quelled.
Ken, what did you call this earlier? Fascism?
Well, it's definitely fears of I don't think it's legal, first of all. But do you want that? You want the military deployed by the federal government to the states where he so chooses?
What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do? You have local law enforcement that you pay, the taxpayers pay big money for criminal behavior. And if you need the National Guard, you don't want the federal government in a dictatorship.
Right. I agree with you on this one, Ken, because it's a bad look, though.
But don't you think local law enforcement has their hands tied by the mayors and the governors? Like, what do you think happened the other night?
Well,
the superintendent of police wanted them to go out and be protected by wearing helmets. And there's two politicians, as the superintendent said yesterday, that said that was a bad look.
Is that like two Joes?
He didn't identify them, but I mean, I could guess who they are.
That's stupid, because they got to be able to protect themselves in the sense that if things do go left, they have helmets on, shields. And I understand they were
shot at.
The riot gear, yeah. I understand that.
There was a drive-by shooting at the cops.
But don't you think sending in the military does that make it then better or worse? Because now it's like, they're sending in the military, so now it's wartime, and you will get these lunatics and nuts and go, okay, here's all right. You want to fight fire like that? We're going to bring our own fire.
Otherwise, how many people are going to be hurt? How many? Mm-hmm. There are people. The first part of that protest the other night,
Sunday night was moving. It was,
right.
You know, it made you stop and think.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just devolves into people trashing other people's businesses.
Yeah, and that is wrong. And maybe, you know, it's one of those things where the protesters, the mass protesters, you know, they're not going to allow that to happen. If somebody sees something and maybe they point exactly who the first person who threw the first brick. Hey, we're not doing that here. We're not going to turn this peaceful thing into chaos, which is then going to put us all in jeopardy. I wouldn't send my 22-year-old daughter. If she was like, I want to go down in this protest, I'd be like, hell no, you ain't going.
Now, after the president called governors weak yesterday, Governor Baker fired back. He clapped back at the president.
I heard what the president said today about dominating and fighting. I know I should be surprised when I hear incendiary words like this from him, but I'm not. At so many times during these past several weeks, when the country needed compassion and leadership the most, it was simply nowhere to be found. Instead, we got bitterness, combativeness, and self-interest. That's not what we need in Boston. It's not what we need right now in Massachusetts. And it's definitely not what we need across this great country of ours either.
Get a little emotional.
Get a little
yes.
emotional yes. there. Wow. A little choked up, Governor Baker.
Very, very, very emotional.
Mm.
A lot of stress. A lot of stress.
When the governor
spoke, there's a lot going
on. There is a lot going on.
Come on, man. Well, you got to hold it together,
there's
man.
There's not a lot going on. Here. I mean, nothing's open. Well, the beach, you can go up to your ankles.
But, right. Can't park there, though.
I think he's hearing it. I think he's hearing it. I think he's hearing the buzz about, you know, our state not being opened. And
well, he got sued yesterday. So,
yes.
Oh, did he?
Several businesses filed a lawsuit.
Okay. Here for you.
Oh, they were open and, then. Well, you know what happens when the church sued them.
One of them was Hair For You, Danielle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, number four.
Yeah.
I'm sad that they didn't use the letter U instead of YOU. I mean, I feel like that would have been the natural follow-up.
I believe also Bottoms Up Tanning Salon was...
Bare Bottom
Tanning
gotta
Salon.
Got to get that tan.
People still tan.
Oh, you got to get... they love tanning.
A couple restaurants in the North End.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the owner of those restaurants said yesterday during the virtual press conference that she is most likely just going to open up on Friday. We're going to talk to Damien, our pal from the North End, about that coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes. But what do you think? What will happen if they just open the whole North End up and people are dining there on Friday before the announcement comes on
it's
Saturday?
Be unbelievable.
Are they going to
get like fines or somebody who go there and tell them to shut it down?
$10 million a day fines
because
it's the city of Boston.
They're going to drag you right out of your seats at the patio.
They're going to pull that espresso martini right out of your hand in front of Brico.
Oh, that and the cannoli, and that's it. Throw you right in the back of the meat wagon.
I miss the Brico espresso martini. It's the best one.
I love how he acts like he hasn't had a restaurant experience in the last 3 weeks.
How could I have? What are you talking about? How could I have gone to a restaurant?
Well, you've gone to New Hampshire.
Well, yes.
Right?
Yes. That's where I go. I always cross the border.
It's been like 7 hours since you were at a restaurant. Right?
Love New Hampshire.
Curtis,
love
it. That
it's been six and a half.
Foolish.
It's not realistic.
It's not like anybody would allow me
a restaurant. How can you miss what you've been having
every day?
No,
that would never happen.
It's not like the back doors are open or anything. No.
Just come in and sit down. It's fine. I mean, you know what the good thing is? Now that every business in Boston has had to board up their windows, no one can tell if anyone's dining in. So they might as well just open up. Because no one's going to be able to take photos.
Putting up the boards. I was like, what are you doing in there?
He likes manual labor. He likes to carry. He's got the hard hat. In his Cadillac still. So.
But honestly, did you
a dry-aged ribeye in your pocket?
Did you ever suspect that there would be a time that you would have to see the Capitol Grill, the windows at the Capitol Grill on Boylston Street boarded up?
No. And we were there like during the marathon bombing.
Yeah.
Like at that time, the weirdest thing I thought I'd ever seen in a restaurant in Boston was Chris Scott, the managing partner of Capitol Grill on on Boylston Street, standing on the bar telling everybody, like, shut up, we have to close, you have to evacuate and get out of here. Mm. I never thought I'd see anything stranger there, and now I have, now that all the windows are boarded.
Hold on, let me finish my prosciutto appetizer.
Mozzarella roll.
Oh, man, I love those.
Oh,
man, I could eat those all day at the Capitol Grill.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good app. It's pretty good.
App.
Yeah, it's great.
Needs to open up. Well, hopefully they'll sneak in and say, you know, we'll open up. I'll go there Friday if they're going to open.
There you go. Greg will pay.
I love those apps.
You want to go? Should if they open up the North End, should we go to a restaurant Friday night?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Oh, you're breaking cultural barriers all over the place. I love it.
It starts here in Boston with
it's
myself.
A pasta summit.
There you go.
You notice there was no real issue in the North End the other night on Sunday night. They protect themselves over there.
Yeah.
There was no looting.
Well, there's no Nike store.
They couldn't even get a Starbucks in there.
There was nobody.
Like, come on.
They didn't venture. Those who wanted to wreak havoc didn't dare go over to the North End the other night.
Can I get some J's and jewelry in the North End? Let's be honest. Oh, I can't.
And some salami.
You get a different kind of come up if you F with the North End.
Right. Yesterday, the governor, when he spoke, also asked a question that many other people have asked about what's been going on with the protests over the last week or so.
You know, I don't want to take away somebody's right to speak out, but I absolutely believe that if you're going to do that, you should recognize and understand that for people to actually reopen, for folks to be able to get back to work, for us to continue to make the progress we've made in battling COVID-19 over the course of the past 7 to 8 weeks, 10 weeks, people need to respect the virus, wear a face covering. Many were doing that last night, and keep their distance.
The virus.
Does he understand how that sounds? It's okay for 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 people, but it's not okay for 40 people to be in a gym?
Don't make sense. Don't make sense at all.
People protested outside the State House, and they were given the right to do so.
And everybody was whining about how irresponsible it was and how they were going to... And you were talking about how outrageous it was and that they were going to create a surge and all the rest of it.
That was where in my mask phase.
Did that surge?
Oh, you're out of the mask phase?
Well, I don't believe the cloth masks work after what Boney says.
Did we have a surge after that protest at the State House?
How's Georgia doing? That's what I'd like to know.
How's Georgia doing?
Because that's the place, right? They're wide open down there. Their nightclubs are back open.
Your question should be, how is every other state doing, Wiggy?
It's surges opened up. In Texas, surges in California.
And their shake spots open up.
Wisconsin.
So that now, how are they doing? When the shake spots are open now, we're getting some real data here.
Greg is more concerned about Shake Shack.
Hey.
Speaking of things being open, Disney has to come up with, how they're going to have people socially distance at the parks. And they've started using stormtrooper characters from Star Wars to encourage social distancing. Someone posted a video online where two of them are up in a balcony in the Disney park talking about face masks and how they have to stay a certain length away from other people.
Okay. Keep moving.
And males can reach up to 3.9 meters long.
Yeah, I'm gonna need you to move one old male mandolin away, please.
Roger that.
Hey.
Yeah.
Some nice face coverings down there. Probably nicer than these helmets.
Maybe the president should deploy the stormtroopers.
Roger
to,
that.
To deal with the unrest.
There you go.
Maybe the lightsabers.
The white helmets, the white suits.
Oh, there we go.
That's the stormtrooper.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Thought you were going someplace else.
No. That's the stormtrooper.
Okay.
Just checking. All right.
Star Wars, WPS, BPS.
I would have to say that's more WPS.
You would?
Yeah, yeah. My man went off, though, on the Star Wars. What's his name? John... Bonega, guy, is that his name?
John Dennis?
No, the actor who, the black actor who played one of the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Because there's people that are really stormtroopers.
Right.
They're not actual robots. No,
what?
Yes.
Mind blown.
I didn't know if you were sure. Say
yes, but what did he go off about?
I guess the backlash of, him being a stormtrooper, and the racism that he dealt with. So
that's the guy that played Finn, the main character in the new ones. Yeah.
Are stormtroopers racist or something? I didn't realize.
No, I don't think people realize there were black people underneath the uniforms of the stormtrooper.
Okay.
I was like, wait a second.
You're going to mark this down, by the way. 8:01 on June 2nd. Wiggy just had an entire Star Wars conversation without bringing up Lando Calrissian.
Poor, like, Nick is like, wait a second. They're not robots? They're not aliens? Actually, black people under there? There are more brothers in the galaxy
I've
than we know.
Right.
All these years.
I love the fact that Florida has Disney opened with a couple stormtroopers telling you to stay apart, and we can't get our beard trimmed.
No.
Which is insane.
We can't sit on the beach.
Our governor is crying while restaurants are closed while encouraging people to gather en masse in protest. What the hell is going on?
I don't know what we're doing here, man.
It's pretty wild.
It wasn't even about fishermen.
Any information on the Waffle House Index in Georgia, Danielle?
Let me double check the Waffle House Index. Hold on.
To answer Wiggy's question earlier.
Let me check.
Waffle Houses are open up. Everything's open in Georgia. How's the spike going over there?
I don't think we're in the red anymore. I think we're closer to the green, or maybe like somewhere between yellow and green when it comes to the Waffle House.
All right.
Former Vice President and current presidential candidate Joe Biden has some recommendations for law enforcement, and he thinks that they should be trained to shoot knife-wielding suspects in the leg, not the heart.
Okay.
And the idea that instead of standing there and teaching a cop who is an unarmed person of coming at him with a knife or something to shoot him in the leg instead of in the heart is a very different thing. There's a lot of different things that can change.
Yeah. Actually, why don't they teach him to shoot the knife out of their hand?
That'd be pretty good.
That would be even better.
Marksmanship.
We get a bunch of John Wicks. Shoot knives out of their hands.
Somebody's coming at me with a knife to kill me.
Yeah.
I ain't thinking about where I'm going to shoot this guy.
Right.
Is he serious? Was that a serious?
Just stay in the bunker, Joe.
Is that a serious solution that he's offering?
No, it is. I refuse to believe that he's only 78 or 77. He sounds like he's 115.
Okay. Surprised he didn't say, put your gun down and see if you can reason with him.
Can you realize we get these bloopers every time he talks? He talks like once a week and he screws up.
He needs to stop.
Wait till he's doing a daily press conference. Right.
Still hasn't got past the "you ain't black yet." So.
Right. Whose idea was it to put him with Charlemagne the God?
That was a bad one.
If they could just turn the suspect around and shoot him in the buttock. Then it would be great.
They could shoot him in the shoulder, and then he'll drop the knife.
He's drop the knife.
Disengage.
Yeah. I seen John Wick do that one time. Yeah. Shot a guy right in the shoulder. His arm went limp. He couldn't move his arm.
Okay. Great solution there. What else, Danielle?
There's a professor at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, who's being criticized for some tweets of hers. Sarah Parcheck is an Egyptologist, and she specializes in ancient architecture, specifically obelisks, which is like the Washington Monument. That's the shape of that particular monument.
Okay.
So she tweeted instructions for protesters on how to successfully pull down monuments and statues.
Well, that's helpful.
Because she knows, how rigid they are and how you can, where the vulnerability is.
Without injuring yourself.
Correct.
How to rip down a statue without hurting yourself. Okay.
She fired off more than a dozen tweets, one of them saying, just keep pulling till there's good rocking. There will be more and more tilting. You have to wait more for the obelisk to rock back and time it.
Is that what that is?
Yep. To pull when it's coming to you. Don't worry. You're close.
You're not helping. You're not.
I'm going to try that with the Red Auerbach statue.
there was some damage done to I wasn't familiar with the statue that the mayor was talking about yesterday. Saying that it was like one of the it was an old it was defaced.
Whitey Bulger statue?
No. It was some sort of statue paying homage when it comes to civil rights or something. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely destroyed.
Man.
The other night. All right, Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome.
As I mentioned, 8:20 or thereabouts, we will talk with our friend Damien from the North End. Hasn't been very happy lately on the show about a week or so ago, and he'll join us coming up a little bit here on the Greg Hill Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.